life of the world to come. Amen. Our preacher for this day, our vicar, Canon Terry Wong, let's welcome him.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to share some reflections this morning on one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart. This can be found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Well, generally, there are three ways to interpret this Beatitude. The first view is to see this as referring to sexual purity. To be pure in heart is to be free from impure thoughts, to be free from any form of sexual impurity. We commonly see this as the New Testament version of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. That this view is so prevalent today should not surprise us, given how highly sexualized our society is. And this how the average Christian on the pew will think of as he reads this Beatitude. Now, it may surprise us, but up till the 19th century, this was not the most common interpretation. In fact, in the tradition of the church, there were two other interpretations of this Beatitude that were more common, more commonly promoted. And this idea, promoted by Gregory of Nyssa, to see you're aware, the church fathers will be acquainted with his work. And he said that to be pure in heart is to purify our hearts from any worldly ties or distraction. We're having a lot of distraction this morning. Unusual at the 7 a.m. service, so I trust that it'll be all right for you. Not to be attached to activities, things, or people, because they get in the way of us seeing God. So through contemplation, and this is what you call the mystic interpretation, focus of contemplation, through contemplation, by clearing our hearts from these distractions, we will be able to see God more clearly. The vision of God will become clearer as we clear away the debris and clutter in our hearts. So to be pure, blessed the pure in heart, is clear away all these attachments. It was later Saint Bernard of Clairvaux who said this: purify your heart, free yourself from all things, become a monk. That is, become singular of heart. Actually, a very helpful interpretation. And is making a comeback, certainly in our very busy city of Singapore. As Christians learn to pull away from the distractions in spiritual retreats, silent retreats, increasingly aware that we need to pull away so they can see God more clearly. But the interpretation I want to focus on this morning has to do with our intention. That is, to be pure in heart is to be sincere, to be innocent, or without guile like a child. Whereas society places a lot of premium on outward purity, God looks at our hearts. Now, this interpretation, one reason why it was so common down through the ages was because it is gleaned from, I wouldn't even say a careful, just a cursory reading of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, or something called, that section is called the Sermon of the Mount. You can see that this was the interpretation that probably Jesus was referring to. We have read just now in the gospel passage, Jesus taught that when you fast, pray, and give alms, you should do it to please God, not men. So I'll read it again. beware of practicing righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 to 4, before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. And by the way, that's a sarcastic statement, right? They have received false glory. Yeah? True glory. Never follow those who seek after them. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So what determines purity or impurity of an action, whether in praying, fasting, or giving, is located in our intention. And Jesus taught forcefully against religious hypocrisy. And originally, the word hypocrisy was reserved for the theater arts. It simply meant to recite, to represent something on stage. And so the actor or the actresses play out a character. It means really to put on a mask. And literally, that was true. When theaters, people just put on a physical mask. So it's about actor playing a character. A person has a face. A character wears a mask. A person is naked. A character is only clothing. You think about that. A person loves authenticity. A character makes believe. A person follows his own conviction. A character follows a script. At least in the theater, the hypocrisy is expected. You don't expect the person who acted as Jesus in the movie on the life of Jesus to live like Jesus in his real life. You won't be stumbled, all right? If that famous actor, you meet him in the streets, is doing something that Jesus won't do today, you won't be stumbled. After all, you tell yourself, he is actor, she is an actress. But today, in the world we live today, the acting is no longer confined to the stage. Reality shows have moved the cameras from the stage to the whole of life itself. And with the advent of social media, a person can build his own image. As a result, we are sometimes confused. When are we living real lives? And when are we only play acting? There's a French mathematician and philosopher, Blaise Pascal, who said this: we live two lives, one that is real and the other that exists in our minds and that of others. That's why I call the double deception. We deceive ourselves, deceive others. We work tirelessly to adorn and preserve our imaginary existence and neglect the real one. We diminish our true life in order to add to our imaginary one. I have here a PowerPoint. I can't quite pronounce his name. Some of you may be able to do that. The previous one, I think. Previous PowerPoint, I mean. Not video. You got it? The next one. Okay, this one, right. I think, therefore I am. Right? A mantra that has dominated for this next 18th, 19th, 20th century. Those believe philosophy will know that. Next slide. But today, with the advent of social media, that's just something funny that I did. It's not true, right? It becomes, I appear. On the social media, we can create our own image now. All the world's a stage. Well, kind of using that phrase in a different way here. Because through the Facebook, you have access to the theaters now, right? You craft your own image of yourself. I appear. The new mantra today is, I appear, and therefore I am. So St. Augustine was the one to promote this view very strongly. The next slide, there's a quote from him. He said, all our works are pure and well-pleasing in the sight of God when they are done with a heavenly intent, having that end of love in view. It is not therefore what one does, but the intent with which he does it, that is to be considered. For St. Augustine, intention is everything. So we read just now in the passage from 1 Samuel, man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You may come across this verse in James 4, verse 8, where James said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. I was always puzzled by this verse, because there's been a mix of metaphors. How can you purify your heart? What does it do with double-mindedness? Right? But when you understand this imputation of the beatitude, then you can see what is going on here. In fact, Jesus himself was an excellent example of one who is pure in heart. In Mark chapter 12, verse 14, the Jewish leaders themselves observed and they said this of Jesus, we know that you are true and care for no man. But look, the word care is not love. Indeed, Jesus loved men. He cared for all men. But he cared for no man as in he cared not for his reputation, what other men may think of him. For you do not regard the position of men, but truly teach the way of God. What an excellent epitaph or summary of the life of Jesus. Indeed, Jesus through his life and teaching was novel. He swept away all the man-pleasing rituals, taboos, religiosity. He ate with sinners. He touched lepers. He ministered to despised women. Despised women whom men of that day won't draw near unless it is not in the light. You know what I'm talking about. But Jesus was different. Sinners, prostitutes, you can classify them as such, were attracted to Jesus. Today we are hung up on sexual sins, but the vice of hypocrisy is the least confessed. Even this morning, when we were doing our absolution and confession, I'm sure you weren't very conscious of any act of pretension this week, or no confess them, right? But perhaps what dominated your mind may be other kinds of sins. Recall the judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. And some of you been following the 40-day prayer will know that there was one day this week where as we go through both Acts, we reflected on the heavy judgment that Ananias and Sapphira received. What were they judged for? After all, they gave sacrificially to the church. The problem with Ananias and Sapphira is that they claim more than they actually give. They pretend they've given everything, but actually they've held back something. So there was misrepresentation and it was a form of hypocrisy. I always wonder, why is there such a big thing? The hypocrisy is something that Jesus should teach so strongly on. It's something for us to reflect on. But let's just hold it first. Move to another point. I'll come back to that. Now, since none of us are perfect and never will be perfect, inevitably, we have to live in some form of hypocrisy, quote-unquote. After all, I can't come to church today and confess my sins to everyone. That's impractical. Neither is it the right thing to do. But I always say, purity of heart is not about perfection, but it is about direction. The Bible often says that we should turn our hearts to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Looking at Jesus and running the race, you run the race, and you started running, you look to Him, and you lay aside the sins. So that's what you did this morning, is you confess your sins, you're running the race, you're in church, you're looking to Jesus, you're laying aside your sins. So you're in church. You go to a connect group. You share perhaps some of your struggles with some close friends. Some may go even further because of problems you face, a bit too personal, too private, and too addictive in nature. And so you seek for professional help. Maybe pastors. By the way, a pastor is a professional. Right? There's a category of career we have. And so sometimes I do that too. Strangers walk up to me and share their problems. Or you may see a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or a trusted Christian counselor. Why? Because your heart, brothers and sisters, is broken before God and open to Him, to God and others. Your heart is not hardened by sin to the point you've lost all sense of what is good and what is not, what is gone and what is not. Senior pastor of the city said, what's the key to revival in the church? And that is in our services. What's the key to experience God's presence in our services? Is that we come every week with a heart that's broken before Him. A broken and contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. So at the age of 13, when I started reading the book of Matthew, and the first thing that grabbed your mind, your attention, after you go through all the begetting, of course, it's the Sermon on the Mount. That's where it gets more interesting. And I always puzzle, why? Prime chapters in the Gospels. Why did Jesus give so much energy to hypocrisy? Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. I used to think, innocently, as a man, at the age of 13, love God with all my heart, at least I thought I was. Maybe Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. These words are not for me. These words are for Him. But as I grow older in my Christian faith, I realized a few things. Imperfection, in one form or another, will always stay with us. Just as we think we've gotten more perfected in some areas, new areas crop up. We know that as we advance in age. But I also realize that one thing can change with age, and that is direction. That we're no longer quick to confess our sins before God. The hearts are no longer broken before Him. The difference between a man and a child at least, is terrible at play acting. Have you seen a child trying to lie? You can see written all over his body, right? Parents will know. But as you grow older, they've perfected the art of play acting. And sometimes it's just the pressures of society upon us. And we've lost the innocence. We've lost the sense of direction. So I end with this. As a way of application, I think we have to start with a relationship with God and return to Him. Like the ancient prayer, we need to constantly ask, search me, O God, and know my heart today. It's an amazing prayer because you are saying, God, my heart is desperate. I cannot search myself. I don't even know myself. I need your help. Search me, O God. Intently search me, O God. And know my heart today. Secondly, with ourselves, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. That in relationship with ourselves, we stop deceiving ourselves. Stop thinking ourselves more highly than we ought. But with sober judgment and with the grace that God has given to us. It was St. Francis of Assisi who said this, for what a man is before God, that he is, and nothing more. We need to get back to that. Strip ourselves of titles, impressions, and stand naked before God. So with ourselves, we can be true to ourselves. And thirdly, of course, our relationships, where we stop living in the shadows. And sometimes, not only are we living in shadows, we're relating to someone's shadows. We need to really experience once again the true koinonia, where we are there helping each other to follow Jesus. You can join a connect group. More than just joining a group, it's about what you do with another brother and another believer. Remove from you any sense of alienation from God and others, for that is a burdensome life to live. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. May we continue to see Him more and more, and one day see Him face to face. So, Father, we ask that You may help us in the clutter of this life, the clutter of the expectations of others, in a world that's so connected in so many different ways. We ask that teach us again what it means to pray in a solitary room. What it means for our hearts to remain broken and open before You, so that we are always confronted by truth and live in the freedom of truth they have given to us. More than anything else, Lord, in this life, more than anything else, Lord, this morning, we want to see You more and more. Amen.
Thank you, Vicar, for that wonderful, very thoughtful exposition of the sixth beatitude. And we pray that the Lord seal the word in our hearts. Very warm welcome to all to this 7 a.m. service. We want to welcome especially the newcomers who are here today. Is there anyone who is new here? Could you please raise your hand if you are new here? Yes, very warm welcome to you. And we want to invite you as well as all in this congregation to please join us for breakfast. Breakfast is just in the open area to the left of this building. And now for the announcements. I have three announcements for you. The first one, can you please turn to page 3 in your bulletin?